As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
This is One Heat Minute.
Drop of a hat, these guys were rock and roll.
What's your name?
Wayne Grove.
Look like gangbangers working the local 7-Eleven. Robbery, homicides, take it out.
Give me all you got! Give me all you got!
I do what I do best. I take scores. You do what you do best. I'm trying to stop guys like me.
A podcast dedicated to all 170 minutes of Michael Mann's LA crime opus Heat, 1 minute at a time.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to One Heat Minute. I'm your host, Blake Howard. This series was and is an in-depth look at Michael Mann's 1995 crime epic Heat, a minute at a time. We have more episodes than minutes because we've had people come back and jump in and join us on this journey. And today I'm bringing you this extra special bonus teaser episode to discuss the series continuing in a more consistent manner. And it feels really weird to even contemplate kicking off this series and continuing it without one of my true friends, one of the most amazing supporters of said series, and a man who literally saved me in a moment that I was crippled and overwhelmed by emotion in one of the most important episodes of the show. That man is the uber extreme talent. Seriously, nobody bleeds like him about movies. TM, our friend Jordan Harper, he is an editor and writer at Bright Wall Dark Room. He is the fantastic dulcet tones behind the incredible Increment Vice podcast, which just came back to properly conclude with one PTA, Paul Thomas Anderson. And he's just truly one of my favorite people to talk to on podcasts. You're going to hear him very shortly as the centerpiece of the final episode of Zodiac Chronicle, because our conversation is suitably heady. And I would not want to end really any show that I ever do without thinking of this man. It is my legendary friend, Travis Woods. Man, thank you so much for coming back to this little bonus teaser of what is to come with One Heat Minute continuing.
Legendary. Jeez Louise. Well, all right, cool. I'll take it. I quite like what Jordan said about bleeding for the movies. I'll take that. That's epitaph.
It's on your epitaph, baby. That's as good as it gets.
Yeah, I'll take it. You know, and we're here. I'm back. We're back talking about Heat again. And you know, credit where it's due to what's his name, Michael Mann, I guess. But you know, I gotta say, when you mentioned me kind of saving you during a brutal moment, what you were referring to, if somehow regular listeners don't know what you're talking about, I was a guest on the second to last minute, which is really the greatest minute of the fucking movie, because that's sure. that's the hand holding, that's the told you I ain't going back. You know, it's that moment. Even Michael Mann didn't get that moment. Come on, he got the credit. He got the credits. I got the, you know,
not his to, name not appeared to be, on the his name appeared on the fucking screen in the minute sure, that he discussed. Sure,
but I mean, he got the credits. It, to paraphrase, you know, put your earmuffs on your kids. To paraphrase The Rock, I gotta fuck the prom queen. So whatever. But moving along. Blake is referring to a moment at the beginning of that second to last episode where you got a little choked up. You got a little emotional because you were saying goodbye to this series that you had really just devoted just a Herculean, insane amount of your time and energy to and your obsession to. And I kind of jumped in for you for a minute. And one of the things, and I'm sure listeners are going to hear that, is I basically demanded that you not take One Heat Minute away from us. And I gave a bevy of possibilities, methodologies to keep the show going. One was, hey, you know what? Do One Heat Minute for the commentary track, which is very entertaining. Or you know what? I was like, I believe we talked about the fact that there were rumors, there was chatter about a Heat book coming out, a sequel prequel. And I begged and I pled that if that were to happen in that moment of your weakness, as you were sitting there, I begged you to bring One Heat Minute back for that. So here we are. It's a couple years later. Here we are, a couple fellas. You do what you do. I do what I do. And it seems like you have something like new to talk about. Because of the
intro you give me. So why don't we just quickly jump back to that moment of weakness?
Wow.
Right.
This is now. This is the end. This is it. We're here. We are
right here.
It's over. And like, I keep thinking of you. I keep thinking of you when this whole thing wraps up. You really are just going to be standing there like Hannah, just kind of. Those owlish eyes peering into the middle distance of the darkness, just realizing it's over, and you're just standing there as Moby starts to play. And you know, like Hannah, you're standing there going, well, what now? And I will say, I think as for what now, you know, we do know that there is a Heat prequel novel coming.
We sure do.
By the time you're
listening to this, you would have heard Reed Coleman, the author of said novel, has been on One Heat Minute.
And gosh, I think you'd be really hurting a lot of people if you weren't willing to go out there and do a One Heat Page podcast and just keep this going for us, Blake. Just a little while longer. Burn through the book, and maybe if we're still in need, redo One Heat Minute, but just do like the man commentary track, and just do One Heat Minute for the commentary track because it's a great commentary. But just don't take this away from us, not yet, because like I'm not ready.
I will make the commitment to you now, Travis, that I haven't actually said to anyone yet. If there's a Heat prequel movie, I'll bring back the show. A Heat prequel movie, I'll bring back the show. The book I will read voraciously, and you know, having Reed on the show so far to talk about little bits and pieces, obviously there would be no spoilers in what you heard, but just us talking about the things that resonated with him from the film and would have been carried through to the way he approached it. If there's a Heat prequel movie, and particularly if the great man himself is directing it, I think I would absolutely extend the show, but that's a caveat for everyone out there that I would do that.
You know, I think you're teasing me, Blake, and you know, we're sitting here like a couple of fellas,
couple of regular fellas,
and I do what I gotta do, and you know, now that we've been face to face on Skype, if I'm there and I gotta make you record another podcast, I won't like it. But I tell you, if it's between you and some poor bastard whose life you're going to make One Heat Minute less, Blake, you were going down.
Well,
you gotta.
Trav, there's a flip side to that coin.
Jesus Christ.
What if you do got me boxed in and I have to do another Michael Mann movie? Minute by minute. I'm just letting you know, if it's a Heat prequel novel, a Heat prequel sequel film, The Godfather Part 2, if you will, to Heat, I will not hesitate. Not for a second.
So, 19 January, 2022, 9 a.m., exclusive, Michael Mann is ready to rip on Heat 2, a novel he has written with Edgar Winner, Meg Gardner, that expands the tapestry of his 1995 classic film. On the show, people would remember one of the other writers who had taken a crack at it and wasn't able to at that time, Reed Farrell Coleman, had joined in and spoken about Heat and spoken about how fresh the novel was in his mind and working with Michael Mann at that time. And, you know, due to creative differences, I guess you'd probably say, it didn't end up happening at that time. And so the release of the book was pushed back. But Michael Mann told Deadline, "It's been my intention for a long time to do further stories of Heat. There's always been a rich history or backstory about the events of these people's lives before 1995 and the projection of where their lives would take them after." And now we get the clarification that it is set 6 years before Vincent Hanna, you know, as a post-Vietnam vet, trying to establish himself in the Chicago PD, starts hunting down high-end criminals. Neil McCauley working through and building his crew out there, and then continues in 2002, or basically 1995, a single day after the movie, events of the movie take place, where Christa Hairless tries to escape LA, and then the 6 years following, as Vincent Hanna hunts down Christa Hairless. Some of those details I'd already known about in some of the conversations with Chris between Reed Farrell Coleman and myself, which I have shared with Travis offline. Has never been revealed because I didn't want people to get ahead of themselves on where this story was going to go. But as soon as the news came out about Heat 2, I wanted to jump on, and I feel like I just wanted to put this out there and tell people that this was always going to happen if this book happened. Travis made me promise, and it was actually just before me being bewildered by the effect of this movie on me. And even before we even got to that minute, as you would have just heard, I told Trav this would happen again. There would be a continuation of this series. And, I mean, it just feels like it has to happen. It would feel like, it would feel wrong if One Heat Minute didn't continue when there is more heat to discuss.
Exactly. And that's, you know, why we, the fans, with our pitchforks and our torches, need to demand that the creatives keep pumping out content whenever we want it, whenever we need it. That's the way things should be. You know, I mean, that's not true. But as complete a vision as Heat is, and as gargantuan and long a vision as Heat is, what is so wonderful about that tapestry is that it is so overstuffed with delights and potential and filaments of stories that you only get the barest wisps of. You know, the entirety of Vincent Hanna's backstory in the film is given to us as an offhand warning by Nate to McCauley. You know, he's a hot dog. Graduate school, Marine Corps, Lieutenant Robbery Homicide, Major Crimes Unit. He's taken down some heavy crews. Blew away Frankie Yonder in Chicago, and he was a fucking maniac. Working narcotics before that? That's the problem. He's divorced twice. Current wife's Justine. He's why the extra heat. That, what is that? That's like six lines, right? But you already get the idea.
It's less than a minute.
Yeah, it's less than a one heat minute. Less than a one heat minute.
He's in a car beneath an underpass, and it looks like it's a confessional in a church. That's how it's lit. And I remember talking to Dr. Hamish Ford, who's a great Australian film scholar, and my tutor at the University of Newcastle, and he talked about that moment. And I just remember that so fondly. And I always remember Frankie Yonder in Chicago, and he's a fucking maniac. And so
he's
he's a fucking maniac. And I'm like,
major
well, cruise. That's... He's a major crew, and I'm like, I can't wait to see. And who, Frankie Yonder, in fact, a real criminal from Chicago, and
yes,
also a real life fucking, because of course, and a real life fucking maniac. So plenty to draw from there.
And, but that line, it is so, that description of Vincent is so evocative. And it is, honestly, I mean, we get lots of backstory, or not backstory, we get lots of evidence throughout the film that Vincent is, as Nate says, you know, funny as a heart attack. Three marriages, what the fuck do you think that means? He likes staying home? It means he's one of those guys out there prowling around all night, dedicated with this guy, with this much heat, you should pass. That moment in the underpass, which is, again, less than a minute, of John Voight warning De Niro, warning McCully, like, he's why this heat, you need to lay off. He can take down Frankie Yonder. You can take down someone like you. That's kind of all we get. I mean, yeah, yes. We see him coming home, and he's like, I'm sorry. Goddamn chicken. You know, we see these moments, but it's really that crystallizes who Vincent is. And that's kind of the miracle of Heat, is you get like an entire novel's worth of information presented to you in a paragraph. Mm. Now, as clean as that is, and as wonderful as that is, and as cool as that is, I won't lie and say, you're goddamn right. I would take a whole book of Vincent Hanna taking down Frankie Yonder, blowing him away in Chicago and taking down his entire fucking crew. I'll read that book. And the fact, I'm not saying that the Frankie Yonder case is what's happening in the book, but I'm not saying it's not either. And I think that's pretty cool. And it's weird to be talking about it almost like it's a franchise, but in Heat fashion, you're going to layer that with other threads, these other stories. You're going to layer that with, the future Chris Chehurlis, well, our past, but future Chris Chehurlis, which is, it's interesting. It's always interesting to me. He's the guy that gets away, because I feel like he's the guy that would be dead in Las Vegas 3 weeks from now, either because of the drugs or the drink, or the fact that he gets in wrong with the wrong bookies and blows all that one massive satchel full of money that he has, that he ends up blowing that in Vegas and you know, dead within a month or two, out of self-loathing for leaving his family. So it's interesting that he's actually, I'm curious, like, is he going to become like Neil and divorce himself of all things, and literally just be ready to, as soon as he sees the heat come around the corner, let go of everything and walk right there. And that brings me to the most important thread, I think, which is one of the biggest conversation points that I think began to erupt through and ripple throughout One Heat Minute. And I think I probably have to give Jordan Harper credit for being the first person to talk about it, was the fact that Neil McCulley is not the cold ass French nihilist, neo-noir anti-hero that we think he is and that he acts like he is, but that he was probably someone more like Wayne Grow.
Yes.
Who did have Born to Lose tattooed across his chest after doing during liquor store holdups, got himself thrown in prison, and had to learn a philosophy that allowed him to never go back.
Yes.
And I'm curious if, just as, and this again, I don't know this.
Can I say right now at the time of recording, nor do I.
Okay.
But
even though you and Michael Mann are pen pals.
Well, in this instance, we're not pen pals per se. But
he I will talk tell more you, than I talk to him. I talk more than I talk to him.
I will say that Edgar Award winning Meg Gardner and I have been in touch. And that's someone who I think knows all the details.
Well, there you go. Put a feather in your cap, buddy. Jesus. Rub it in everybody's face. But I think what's going to be
doing
really...
this for you. You made me promise.
I know. That's true. But I do think it would be interesting to watch an arc of Chehurlis becoming more like Neil. And I wonder if... And maybe we'll see if there was a period where Neil was far more like Chris, if Neil was far more like Wayne Grow, which was... Mm. Kind of a growing thread. I know I batted that idea around. I know that Harper did too. And I think it's the most interesting vision of that character possible, is that Neil is not the icy Jean-Pierre Melville protagonist that you think he is when you watch the movie the first time, that you realize someone would only institute that code upon themselves if they were out of control.
Yes.
And that the real Neil McCulley that we see, the real Neil McCulley is that guy driving in that tunnel with Edie, realizing he's going to risk everything to put a bullet in Wayne Gros' chest and then his fucking head. smiling in an almost nihilistic glee at the fact that he's going to be a cowboy. And that is the real Neil. I keep calling him Nate, but that is the real Neil, I think. And I'm very curious if we're going to see a bit more ragged, a bit more wild Neil McCulley than the very tamped down version we get in the film. That if we're talking things to hope for, I think that would be an interesting contrast. If, again, I'm literally just pretending now what I think the book is going to be, but you know, you almost get this kind of Godfather 2 parallel of Chris becoming more like Neil, and Neil at one time being much more like Chris. And all in binding these two men, of course, is funny as a heart attack, Vincent Hanna, lieutenant in robbery homicide, major crimes unit. And God, I'm already, aren't you excited, man? I'm excited. I can't, more heat. Come on. You know, just every middle-aged white guy in America right now, it just, they're a little bit more awake. Oh yeah, the world, that's right. Because didn't mean to exclude our Aussie friends. Pardon me, but like, I apologize. I'm tickled pink.
I can say this with every fiber of my being. There is no human being on the planet, save for the person I'm talking to right now, and maybe Mr. Jordan Harper and Jet Airs and really our deep.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Keep Carula, Jan Johans, Bill Get Beery, the incredible just lineup of not only One Heat Minute guests, but One Heat Minute supporters and fans. That is like vibrating on the frequency that is different now, because I know that at least this really shitbag 3 years that we've had all collectively, but just knowing that 2022 has, in August, this book coming out is something that is so incredible. And, you know, you made me say this so many times in our epilogue of Increment Vice, this don't mean we're back together. So I'm just going to flip that sentiment on its head and say, there was no way that I was ready to get back together with Heat after what we had done to end the show. I was so proud of how it ended. I was so moved by it. I haven't watched Heat really since, until we broke out of lockdown, which is in 2020, like a million lockdowns ago. And I was totally ready to not have to have another thing to say about it, because I felt like everything that could have been said was said, and said richly, and collaborated on to make that show happen. But I'm ready to get back together.
Well, geez, buddy, how are we doing this? Is what is this? We can do one heat chapter? Is it one heat page? I mean, gee, that well, no, it's I, good. How are I you
think,
doing this?
I think
explain
it's,
this to the people.
I think it's lunacy to do one page at a time, despite the fact that I think a lot of people wish for that. That's not going to happen. I feel like a chapter at a time is absolutely the way to go. And the reason that I say that is I'm not going to limit it necessarily to even the format. So one heat minute, while it allows that incredible laser focus, just as we did with Increment Vice, where we had whole scenes that you could talk about. I'm going to have a chapter at a time, and I'm not just going to limit it to single guests. I'm going to have multiple guests. They're going to be tapestry-like chapters, talking through this stuff, talking about the book content itself, talking about elements of the chapters, highlighting some of the amazing critical and creative voices that we both now collectively know that want to talk about this book and about this film again. And so it's going to probably be a much more have much more production kinship to something like Increment Vice and Zodiac Chronicle in that way. But we're going to tackle it a chapter at a time. Really meaty, in-depth convos that dive into absolutely everything you can want to talk about. Multiple guests, lots of stuff, lots of production, but really finding a way to synthesize everything that's going on in every chapter of the book and then talk about it and then how it echoes into the film. I think that's what it's going to have to be in my mind. That's how I've built it in my head already, like conceptually. So I don't think we're going to miss anything. I can unequivocally say this. Nothing will be missed. No stone will be unturned, just as One Heat Minute. These chapters will go as long as they need to. These episodes on each chapter, we'll be breaking it down a chapter at a time. There'll be lots of conversations. For example, you know, anyone who's listening to Zodiac Chronicle right now, and if you haven't, I strongly recommend it. Like, there are 24 episodes, and I reckon I've done more than 70 interviews for the show. So if you're listening to it, 70 hours have gone in interweaved throughout that show, and as well as being scripted, as well as those other things. So I feel like it's going to have a lot more polish than some of, especially the earlier episodes of One Heat Minute, which is a scrappy, you know, which is a scrappy thing when it first started. But I feel like that, watching the way it takes shape and already having so many people put their hand up to be a part of the show before it's even started, I'm just thrilled that that's how it's going to look in my head. And I hope that people get a kick out of listening to it when we get to it.
Boy, oh boy, you think Mann wrote the book just to get the show back on the air?
Probably did, right? I just want to say, I have to read this because my friend Stu Cute is a huge part of why, a huge instigator of the original show. And I can't thank him enough for what he did, but he wrote this tweet that just absolutely had me howling and also like almost crying with laughter, which was something like, can you imagine if it says for Blake and that's the dedication? Oh, and I was like, don't even joke about that. That would be so ridiculous. Like that. And I'm obviously not singularly responsible for anything other than just holding, you know, other than, you know, setting the table for this campfire of this movie to just for people to come in and say their piece and catalog it for everyone and put it out there. But man, that would be so silly and crazy. And you know, in some ways I go, man, if that was to happen, I don't even know what I would do. I cannot say what I would do if I read something like that. If it was anything in the acknowledgments, I would just like,
well, I mean, you mind. Guys already spend Christmases together.
I'd like the Travis's imagining of what Michael Mann and I's relationship
kids,
is.
Your kids play together. I know you hide this shit from me because I know what goes on. I know what goes on.
Well,
you know, well, I mean, that would be pretty wild. I don't know that that's going to happen though.
But I don't think it's going to happen at all. But
speaking
it would be
of
wild.
Which, wasn't it great when this news broke and like for once Twitter was fun again? Like, yes. Twitter was fun again for like 2 hours when this news broke.
Yes.
You know, even the people, like, there was not even the scolds. It would be like, people would be like, fuck yeah, heat too. And someone would go, yeah, but what about capitalism? Yes. You know, I agree with you. You know, capitalism is terrible. It's killing us all. But, you know, everyone let us have our moment. And, you know, I saw Stu's tweet. There were a lot of really good ones.
Chris Evangelista did a great one of like, that look she's going to give you in August when you're reading the Heat 2 book, and just put a picture of Edie smiling at Neil at the coffee shop. And I was like, fucking, so many good tweets. Really good reactions.
The brilliant and hilarious Melissa Kay. I saw that she retweeted the trailer, and what it's something like, and I think like she said, like, Heat is the only time I've ever unironically listened to Moby. Because I mean, come on, he's an annoying little guy, but music used to great effect in both Heat and the Heat 2 trailer.
Yes.
And so yeah, I had to call that out because that gave me a big laugh. Yeah, it's really weird. It's really weird in the year of 2022 that we do have something, this glimmer on the horizon, shimmering like the iridescent algae in Fiji, shimmering on the horizon, something to actually look forward to. I am kind of surprised that it actually happened, not because I don't think that man doesn't have the will to pull something like this off. Of course he does. I just kind of stopped expecting good things to happen, really exciting things to happen, including any kind of sequel to Heat. And you know, you can't do a Heat film. You just can't. I don't think you can do another Heat film. And
it needed to happen in 2002.
Sure.
If it was going to happen, it would have had to have happened so quickly, so that you could have Kilmer, so that you could have Pacino, and then have the opportunity to really look at the crop of young actors at the time and try and cast alternative versions.
But at the same time, you know, it's just, why mess with perfection? And I feel like a book, in a way, is a little different. Even if you don't like the book, I feel like because it's a different medium, there's something somewhat separate about it, so that if it, you know, God help us all, and we're dedicating a podcast series to a book that's not very good, if it doesn't work out, it's like, well, you know, it's its own thing. This is a book. It's not that books aren't important, but because it's a different medium, it's just not the same. It's not a sequel. I don't have to acknowledge that it exists visually the way I have to a really bad misconceived film. And similarly though, if it works, it enriches the text of the film the way, let's say, Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood loose adaptation / tie-in really enriches the text. And I would even argue, and people know that I love that film, the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood ending of the book might in some ways be superior emotionally to the film. And if Heat 2 can kind of pull that kind
and just to quickly interject, I mean, speaking of spending Christmases with you know, children and families, I'm not
talking about this
right now. I believe that, you know, you even got to have a conversation with someone who admired your, I mean, prayer to a Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, your 10,000 word donation in blood to the movie's discourse.
Well,
about
that conversation will remain between myself and that gentleman.
Will it now? There's lots of Blake this and Christmas cards and children that, but look, my secretive and evasive friend will not acknowledge that maybe the creator behind such a thing not only had acknowledged your work and appreciated your contribution, but that also he pegged you right from the outset that the final moments of the book, which I've read, was going to be right in your wheelhouse. And look
at
that.
Blake, I'm a gentleman. I don't kiss and tell. You know, this kind of locker room talk doesn't appeal to me. I'm a gentleman. But back to what I was saying, I'm going to change the subject real quick.
Yeah, good.
I'm going to get out of there. I think the novel is the way to go. I don't think like a fucking Netflix miniseries with all new actors or even de-aged actors.
Going on record to say, despite my love of The Irishman, I think everyone talks about The Godfather Part II as one of the greatest pieces of American cinema of all time. And one of the things that is so baller And I don't know how many people have described Godfather Part 2 as baller, but one thing that is so baller about the Godfather Part 2 is that you had the gall to have a young actor have to step into Brando's shoes. And I genuinely think, you know, in some contemporary series, and I've recently talked about another podcast about like how much I really appreciate the work that's being done in Yellow Jackets, given the opportunity for two actors to play the same role over different ages and watch how there's a continuity between the roles or there's not, or you know, the subtle continuities between the roles. I just genuinely think, you know, it's such a baller move. So getting to recast it imaginarily in your mind is much more exciting, I think. Personally.
Yeah, I just don't think anyone wants to see that. But also, I mean, you know, even recasting, you know, a different actor for a young Brando. Yeah, of course it works because you're casting fucking 1971, 72 Bobby De Niro. So of course it's going to work out just fine for you. But, you know, this day and age, I just don't know if I see someone rolling in like Vincent Hanna. I can't imagine some young 5'5" actor rolling in with the kind of moxie that Pacino has. I just don't, I don't see it. Or I don't mean to call him 5'5". We'll call him a celebrity 5'10". You know, I don't see it. So I think a book, I think, is a perfect way to provide these bookends to the saga that we've lived with for so long. We get a enriched beginning and we get an enriched ending. I kind of get the feeling, I mean, if we've got Pacino on the heels, or excuse me, not Pacino, but Hannah on the heels of Chehalis, I kind of get the feeling it's gonna end with Chehalis getting killed, but then that might be too similar to Heat. So what are they going to do? See, I'm already doing the thing where I can't wait for the book. I'm already going, well, no, it's going to be these two different arcs and you're going to have Vincent connect them. And then Vincent's going to have to kill Chehalis because how else do you end this story? But maybe not. Maybe it's going to be him just blowing away Frankie Yonder in Chicago. And he was a fucking maniac. And, you know, maybe Chehalis continues because there's all this stuff in the press release. It's going to take place. It's going to jump to like Taiwan and Southeast Asia. Does that mean, I mean, are we going to see like the Deer Hunter version of this story where, Chehalis just flings himself into the Far East, crime circles? I'm very curious about where this book is going. And I think what's going to be interesting is, and of course I'm a Michael Mann bro, so I'm going to think all of this stuff is interesting, but I think that something that's going to be really interesting, and I think will probably be explored in the show more, is this is the story of Heat being generated by Michael Mann of right now.
Yes.
Not Michael Mann of 1995. And Michael Mann of right now is a different artist than he was in 1995, just like he was a different artist than he was in 1981 when he made Thief. And I'm very curious what the Michael Mann of now, how we are going to feel those aesthetic changes in, and that's not to take away from Meg Gardner's work in this, but given that this is Michael Mann's baby and he is kind of the magnetic north of this tale, I'm very curious how the Michael Mann of post Miami Vice, post Black Hat, is going to be approaching the storytelling of these characters that a very different Michael Mann created.
Yes.
And I think that that's going to be, that's the first thing I thought when I saw, you know, these things touching on Southeast Asian crime trade and things of that nature, which I think are far more the intellectual pursuits of Michael Mann of right now than Michael Mann of 1995.
Yeah, Taiwanese crime syndicates and South American free trade zones. It's speaking the language of both Black Hat and Miami Vice, right?
Mid-90s man, we're talking about Gladiator Academies in Chino. You know? We're talking about
but also that's
your guy lives in Hillside Terrace in Encino. But now we're jumping into international waters.
But also that key, you know, they talk about it as a key deep dive into Hannah. and is like the effects of Marine Corps service in Vietnam, conflicts in the Chicago PD, where he discovers his life's calling. And so I'm excited for that too, because this is a guy that's writing about his formative, like essentially you're formulating stories about his formative years where he was a sponge for everything that was happening in Chicago, particularly in this moment. But look, I think this is more than enough of a morsel. And I think if you can see that Travis and I can almost talk for about 30 minutes just postulating and pondering over Heat, I think there's going to be more than enough. There's going to be more than enough to talk about. And I feel like I feel very happy in the most earnest and sincere way, even though my favorite person to rip on me, especially while the mics are on, is you. I feel very fortunate and grateful that the show One Heat Minute existed, and creatively it was, I think, one of my most freeing creative enterprises that I've ever done in my life. And so it feels like this little bonus episode is as much a promise to you that it's going to be as good as it possibly can be from a show perspective, regardless of how we receive the ultimate text. I feel like it's going to be just an absolute blast to talk to you again, to talk to our friends, Jordan Harper, Jed Ayers, Jen Johans, Bill Gerbieri, like you name it. People like Joe Lynch, who was a huge endorser of the show early. Everyone's coming back. It's going to be a real, it's going to be a real joyful bringing back together of people talking about this movie again, which is the biggest aspiration of the series, is just people gushing about this movie. And it's going to be the most hated enterprise for my best friend Maria Lewis, who's just like, can't you fucking guys talk about something else other than Heat? And I'm sorry to say, but as of August, no. And one other thing I would just say too is, a few people have asked, so I just want to tag it in this episode really quickly, is a few people have asked like, oh, so does that mean you're not doing Podcaster and Commander or some of the other shows you guys are thinking about coming up? Like, does that mean it's not happening? Absolutely not. We will be doing Podcaster and Commander. That is the next show that is happening on One Hit Minute Productions after Zodiac Chronicle. We'll obviously continue. We're obviously continuing Miami Nice. We're obviously continuing Too Much Movie. We're obviously continuing The Blues Brothers. And, you know, I might be able to twist my boy's arm here to come back for things other than Heat. He's definitely coming back for a Miami Nice very soon, which Katie and I are excited about. So there is a lot more coming. The engine of Heat, taking down fucking maniacs like Frankie Younger in Chicago. That's definitely our bag.
Is there even a DSM-5 for what you have here? What is this? I tell you, you know, men would rather start a second Heat podcast than go to therapy.
Yes, indeed. That is as true as that's speaking of epitaph, that can go on my tombstone should anything happen to me. Bless you.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome. So bless, long, brother. You're home free.
Bless your heart. I told you I was never going back unless the Heat 2 novel is coming out. So I guess I lied.
So let's go listen to some Moby and have a good crack.
Hi, this is Blake Howard, host and producer of One Heat Minute Productions podcast. We dive into the great and underappreciated cinematic works, often 1 minute or one scene at a time. Our crew of guests are some of the most wonderful filmmakers, writers, authors, and critics ever assembled. Our shows include One Heat Minute, Josie and the Podcats, All the President's Minutes, Increment Vice, and right now, Zodiac Chronicle. Check out oneheatminute.com or find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.